The very first time I walked into this building and worshiped at Grace Lutheran was not when you might expect it. It was not during the call process when I interviewed in person in the fall of 2019, but actually 11 years prior. In December of 2008, my family and I were flying through SeaTac on our way to celebrate Christmas with our family in Denver, Colorado. Now, as we began our descent, our pilot informed us that a massive snowstorm had grounded SeaTac and that we were going to be able to land, but it was unlikely anyone was going to fly out again that evening. Eventually, we landed. Eventually, we were granted a gate, and many hours after that, we stumbled into our hotel for the next few nights, Garden Suites on Pack Highway. Through a little of his own magic and a heavy dose of determination, my dad eventually found us flights out again on Christmas Day, and we spent the next few days riding buses throughout downtown Seattle and hours on the couch in our hotel room watching cartoons, which was something we were banned from doing at home. As Christmas Eve drew closer, my mom, working her own magic, devised a Christmas feast from what she could find at the Walgreens on the corner and what could be made in a hotel room. My dad determined that even if everything else was upside down, we would still make it to church on Christmas Eve. And so we slipped and slid our way down the Kent Des Moines Road and found ourselves here for Christmas Eve worship. Now, between the microwaved green bean casserole, which turned out delicious, by the way, the worship here, the $10 we each spent on wacky Walgreens presents for each other, and with the string of lights we hung on our desk lamp in the hotel as a stand-in for a Christmas tree, that was, to date, our most memorable and my most favorite Christmas Eve ever. The fact that we had this magical Christmas Eve at all was a strange fluke, and not just because we were grounded. My parents hate traveling at Christmas, so we usually saved our family visits for any other season. But the reason we braved the Christmas travel that year, the reason all of this came about, was because our family was fairly certain that this was going to be my grandmother's final Christmas. Mormor had been fighting ovarian cancer for years, ebbing in and out of physical strength and health. 9 months later, after that eventful Christmas Eve, our family prediction came true and Mormor passed in late September. Sometime during those last 9 months, I remember my dad, after getting off the phone with Mormor, saying to my mom, "She says she's feeling better. She says all the prayers from church are helping and she's getting her miracle. But I talked with her doc last week. She's not getting better." When she died, I remember thinking, where was her miracle? I thought again of that Christmas and Mormor when reading our text for this morning. How often have we prayed to be Simon's mother-in-law, to be visited by Christ and cured of our fevers? How many times have we in the past year hoped and prayed and begged God for a miracle to end this pandemic? Each time we return to stories like this and others throughout the Bible saying, "You've done this before, God. I know you can do it. Just please do it again." We know the miracle we want. And seeing others who seem to receive the miracle we are so desperate for, we often grow angry and bitter. How dare God not care for the ones I love? How dare God not save the ones I love? I think it is a sign of our hoped-for miracle when we so quickly insert ourselves into biblical stories like this one. How often have we cast ourselves as Simon's mother-in-law or one of the crowds waiting to be healed? We've all been in situations when we've hoped for a miracle like the one she experienced. But I've never before imagined myself as James or John, the other disciples there with Jesus and Simon and Andrew, witnesses to these amazing healings, but not directly impacted by it either. Not in the way Simon or his mother-in-law were. What was it like to sit there and watch Jesus heal, knowing what he was capable of, and then, much later, watch him die on the cross, hoping and begging him to save himself? And I imagine, since Jesus is only healing for a few hours at most that evening, that there must have been some who made it to the door and were turned away. When I do think of those people, my brain automatically starts thinking, why not them? No matter how we try to fight it, we read these scriptures immersed in a culture that continues to tell us that good things happen to those who earn it, even when we know from our own experience that's not always true. So my brain says, what about those who were turned away? What about them meant that they didn't earn their miracle, that they weren't worthy of it? Now, I've learned over the years that my brain is fairly smart and she can be worth listening to, but it is always my heart that I let guide me. Because when my brain says, what did they do to be turned away? My heart says, absolutely nothing. And you're asking the wrong question. My heart remembers that Christ didn't die for just those he healed that night. He died for all of humanity. My heart remembers that worthiness does not determine our spot in line to receive healing. Christ did that on the cross already. And my heart remembers that miracles happen in ways my brain can't always understand. Yes, there were people who were turned away that night. But what if, seeing Christ heal the uneasy spirits of those before them, they returned home and apologized to their spouse for their hurtful actions? Is that not also a miracle and healing that comes from God? What if, watching Christ cure fevers, someone returned home and was inspired to take up healing in their village and so healed others? These are all complete conjectures and imaginations, but what if my understanding of what constitutes a miracle is closing me off to the healing miracles that happened beyond my limitations? What if my brain has so limited my understanding of what a miracle is that I miss God's miracles unfold around me every single day? On the 10th anniversary of Mormor's death, in the fall of 2019, my grandfather and I were on the island of Iona in Scotland, a thin, holy place, a place where the veil between this world and the next feels translucent. We were there to learn about Celtic spirituality, an expression of the Christian faith focused on the beauty and blessing of the natural world and rooted in the mystery of our faith. It was there that Papa pulled out his daily prayer book, a book I'd seen hundreds of times, one he prays from every morning and every evening, a collection of Celtic prayers. The spine of this book is torn from all the times he's opened it. The pages are held in place by rubber bands and devotion, and the cover bulges with the additional prayers, notes, and love he's added over the years. I've seen this treasured book hundreds of times. But that day in Scotland, I learned more about it than I ever had before. His beloved, weathered hands holding it gently, rubbing his thumb over the spine, Papa said in his gentle, quiet voice, this was Mormor's. She loved these prayers. Celtic thought, Celtic prayers, these prayers, they saved her life. All those years ago, when I had first asked God where Mormor's miracle was, I mistakenly thought she hadn't received it. But I was wrong. The miracle wasn't that she survived, although that was the miracle we all hoped and prayed and begged for. The miracle was that she lived. There was so much of that last Christmas with her I don't remember. I remember the fabric of the couch we watched cartoons from in the hotel room on Pack Highway, but I don't remember the last time I said goodbye to her. And I know, weirdly and counterintuitively, I feel God's healing power in that. I don't want to remember saying goodbye. I want to remember the way she would light up when we walked in her front door. I don't want to remember our last hug. I want to remember all the hugs before that. I don't want to remember the last time we talked. I want to remember her voice. Each of you, listening from home, I know only a small fraction of the pain you carry with you, the losses you've experienced. And in the midst of that pain, grief, heartache, I will never tell you that you need to just look for the good, pray for a miracle, and that it will all get better. I won't tell you that because I can't promise that. But I will tell you that God works miracles in ways we cannot always see or understand. Because I also know you all have stories and loved ones like my mormor. You've seen miracles in small and big ways. In the holy mystery of our faith, the Holy Spirit works beyond our imagination and brings her healing powers in ways that words just can't express. And if you can't believe that today, let me believe it for you. Let the community of saints that surround you believe it for you until you are once again able to believe it. Let us carry you because there is strength enough here for all. In the mystery of our faith, in the mystery of our God, there is strength enough for all, even if all you can do right now is borrow it. In a moment, we'll watch together a video from Lutheran World Relief, one of our mission partners, working to spread God's healing power throughout the world. You will see faces that will remind you of Simon's mother-in-law and the crowds that waited for Christ's healing. No doubt you will witness in this short video some of the miracles God's healing spirit is accomplishing through the LWR. And no doubt there are different miracles that those in the video had once hoped for, prayed for, begged for. As we watch these images, there is no doubt in my mind you will experience deep lament. We know global poverty has not been eradicated. We know global violence has not been stopped. We know there are miracles we are still hoping and praying and begging for. And yet, do not lose sight of the abundance of hope in this video too. There is dancing and laughter and hope woven into the faces and lives of those recorded. There are little miracles and big miracles and everything in between. Though it is a hard truth to hear, may this video and these faces remind us all, we've never been gifted the knowledge of when or how God will work miracles. We have only ever been gifted the ability to receive them. May we all be so blessed with the openness to receive that which we could not anticipate. And when the anger, grief, and pain threatens to overwhelm us, may we also be blessed by those who carry us through, who let us borrow their strength and their devotion when we need it most. May the God who heals, the God who sees, the God who restores us all into life everlasting, so bless you now and forever. Amen.